Good evening and welcome to Talkin' Music on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Songwriter, blues singer, slide guitar phenom Colin Lake played in Paonia Town Park last Thursday as part of the Pickin' in the Park series. I had a chance to sit down with this New Orleans-based artist before his show. So I read a review of you that said, as a songwriter, that you pursue an unlikely combination of blues, grit, and romantic optimism.
Yeah.
And so when I first saw you, I don't know what song I was listening to or what video I was watching, but the first thing I got was the romantic optimism.
Okay.
So then I was a little bit, this is before I read this review too. So then I was a little taken by surprise when I realized that you actually, there's an edge there too.
Sure.
It seems like a lot of artists don't do both.
Sure.
They kind of go in one direction or another. What do you think it is in your background or your upbringing or just your experience as a musician that helps you sort of mix the dark and the light like that?
Yeah, well, first of all, that little piece that you just mentioned is probably my favorite thing that I've seen also. Because a lot of times, you know, you feel like the point's not being received properly or whatever. And that I really feel like, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. And that's a good way to put it. But I'll say that I've always, I think musically early on, I got into kind of the darker stuff, you know, just grittier blues. And of course, the slide guitar in general kind of lends itself to a gritty kind of tear it up sort of sound, or it can. Of course, there's a real sweet side to it also. And then around the time that I moved to New Orleans, and I think even before then, I just became really attracted to the sort of sweeter R&B kind of stuff. And also in general, New Orleans music and just kind of majory, major tonality, I mean, kind of music has really sort of been part of my antidote, if you will, kind of my antidepressant, you know, happy music. But more than that, music that is not just inward looking, you know. I think the darker stuff that I have written is sort of interpersonal turmoil. But I think that I'm sort of finding my place in the world as somebody who's looking to shed more light, you know, and to just kind of, when I find one of those threads, pull on it further, you know. And moving to New Orleans and marrying a really sweet, shiny woman from Texas and kind of all this, it's all kind of intertwined. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, it inspires the romantic optimism a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you moved to New Orleans from the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I read that your first encounter, though, with New Orleans was when your parents would go to Jazz Fest and come home acting weird.
Yeah, acting loose, definitely, compared to their normal selves back in the late 80s when I was a kid. And yeah, I mean, they would regale us with stories about New Orleans, and they'd come home with these colorful posters and clothes and all kinds of things. And it was always this, you know, sort of mysterious place that I knew I'd get to one day. And when I finally did, I mean, to see New Orleans in the springtime for the first time is like something else, you know. It's love is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere, really. I mean, it's you fall in love with it so quickly. You especially coming from a place from not a southern place, you know, when you get there, it's like this warm puffs of Gulf air and lots of sunshine and the flowers in the springtime and the tropical plants and all that, and people in the streets and brass bands, music in the air, smells in the air. You can't beat it.
Yeah.
And then once you move there, you kind of, if you really love living in New Orleans, I think it would be hard to live anywhere else, because there's so many things that you can't find anywhere else, you know. And then there's also, you know, more difficult parts. The summertime in general is just a kind of heavy. I mean, that when that heat sets in, it doesn't leave until late September. I think the city itself is just so alive, not only the people and the energy themselves, but the atmosphere. You just feel the atmosphere there all the time. Mm-hmm. You know,
so I feel like one of the main goals of most musicians is to connect with the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember one time or one of the first times where you were like, that's happening? I can tell that this is having an impact,
yeah,
you know, on the audience.
I do. I mean, I got to say that in my young career, those sort of bits of encouragement that were both explicit, i.e. they would say it to me after the show, or I could just kind of see it and tell when people tune in. That's kind of been the biggest motivation for keeping it going, you know, to see it reflecting off of other people and say, okay, this is working, or to have somebody older just come up and say, you know, you really got something here, kid, or whatever it mm-hmm. is. And yeah, I mean, hundreds of those really micro moments, you know, whether in a bad gig or a good gig or whatever, you know, really when you have them on the sort of bad gigs is that's what makes, that's mm-hmm. what kind of galvanizes you. And, you're able to kind of take those and put them in your pocket and, you know, humbly proceed and say, I'm going to keep doing this because I see that it's working, and you got to tune in to know what's working and what's not, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, when I moved to New Orleans, you know, I'm a big fan of all kinds of roots music, and songwriting is very important to me. But you know, in New Orleans, you've got to rock, you've got to be groovy, and you've got to entertain also. So I think that my band that I have now, and a big part of at least the electric sound, you know, if you listen to the recording, the sort of, you know, full band kind of songs, are kind of incubated in that environment where I am taking these songs that have a lot of meaning to me and hopefully will have meaning to the listener, but putting them with a groove and building a set that will be impactful in multiple ways. You know, it'll mm-hmm. be entertaining. It'll get them dancing. It'll get them grooving. There'll be different tempos. There'll be some dark songs. There'll be a lot of light songs. You know, there'll be some covers, but they're not going to be straight down the middle covers. They're going to be stuff that I really like that, you know, the real music lovers in the audience might know or whatever. So that, I mean, I really have to credit sort of taking my particular interest in music and sort of combining it with the environment of how you've got to be as a New Orleans band. And those two things together, I think, it is really what has taken us to the next level with this.
Forty days, I've been on my own. 100 times, I must have wondered if I'd ever find my way home. Don't I worry, don't I feel right up with fright when I'm 1,000 miles from home, and my baby's all alone at night. Oh, but there's been too much distance between us. I've never been so far from home, but now I got 99 miles to go. You see me drifting. You see me tumbling like a knuckleball. But I got one hand on the control, and I can't see a thing at all. But I could holler, scream and cry. But when I get back to my baby, in the arms I'll open wide. There's been too much distance between us, but I've never been so far from home. But now I'm so close, I can feel it. I'm coming home to you, baby. I got 99 miles. got 99 miles on to go.
That's the song 99 Miles from New Orleans artist Colin Lake, who played in Paoneytown Park last week. I spoke to him before his show. You're playing Telluride Blues and Brews.
Yeah.
Coming up here in September, which I'm very much looking forward to. It's pretty much my favorite music festival.
Oh, great.
Last time I was there, I was talking with a girlfriend about how that festival can sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's very male-dominated. and just the genre of blues,
sure,
actually is male-dominated.
Sure.
But I remember saying that I didn't care that it was male-dominated, really, because all those guys are doing is singing about women. So women are represented, even
sure,
though there may not be performing. They're mm-hmm. definitely like highly regarded, I would
sure
say, and celebrated in
yeah
that music.
Yeah.
So my question is, can you tell me about the first female in your life who inspired a song?
Hmm.
Or maybe just the best song that you've written, you know, that you feel you've written.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, the two records I've made in New Orleans, the ones I love, and One Thing That's For Sure, I mean, at least half of them are just totally marked by my wife and our growth together. You know, One Thing That's For Sure is the title track to the most recent record, and it's the first song. Yeah, it's the first song. And that's a song where I had the groove just kind of around the house for like a year, maybe more. And then 2 days after we got married, we went and just, it wasn't our official honeymoon, but we just wanted to get away for a couple of days. And friends of ours had a condo in Florida, where, you know, you look out over the beach and the Gulf and you just kind of look out into space. And all of a sudden the words just started coming. And it's kind of rare for me that it goes like that, but that song in particular is just one of many. But that one is just like, it's all about she and I and what she's brought to my life and what we can do together that we couldn't do separately, and how it's affected my, you know, outlook on life in general and how it's become so much more positive. And that's a song where something about the rhyme scheme and the way I was feeling at the time. I mean, I was really, our wedding was an incredible experience and brought a lot of people together that I never thought I'd see in one place, you know? And so I think we were just kind of soaring off of that for quite a while. And so that tune comes to mind as one that's just like, you mm-hmm. know, just our love. It's really, it's a love song to her, but to our love, you know, and to how that's affected the way we look at the rest of the world.
In a world full of wonder with eyes open wide, we came dancing into each other's view. And I float so high, and I've done it far and wide, and still every road leads me back to you. I got a motor that runs on love, and it's your love, baby, that I'm thinking of when I tell you that it's time to fill up. You took your time, but you made your mind as a new. Surely would, and now I always get the drink from your cup. And that's the one thing that's for sure, baby, that's the one thing that's for sure. And I know your love is pure, baby, that's the one thing that's for sure. Hard to say, but in a day I think we all grew up, but not of our own way, to take a look at what love has done. We tore the roof off of all the years and all our fears. losing all the pain, and now we're feeling like we never had enough. And now it's you for me and me for you, arm in arm, as we hold on tight. And can't you feel our hearts as they open wide? By the river, peace, at an altar we made to the gods of love. Ain't they gonna hear us as we testify? Yeah. And that's the one thing that's for sure. Baby, that's the one thing that's for sure.
One thing that's for sure from Colin Lake, who I interviewed last week before his show in Paoneetown Park. Here Colin talks about what inspired the song Just Begun.
I brought it to my wife. I had been kind of working on it, and we had a mystical experience, spiritual experience in Costa Rica on the Osa Peninsula a couple of falls ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And we just had it just when you just feel more connected than ever, you know, and you're further out from all the BS than ever. And I mean, we ended up with some photos where there was like these orbs of light in there.
Well,
and our guide
that
we were hanging out with, when we showed that photo to him, he said he went blank and didn't say anything for a couple of days for the rest of the day. And the next day he explained to my wife in Spanish that he has seen that light 2 or 3 times in the same spot, and to see it in a picture, he had to confront the fact that it's really there, because he had kind of said, oh, it must have been glare or whatever, but he'd seen this sort of orb of light, and who knows what it was or where it came from or whatever. But that sort of thing, that was just one in a bunch of kind of experiences where we came home feeling like, wow, you know, more connected to each other and everything around us than ever. The rest of the record had basically been recorded, and I was looking for one more song, and an acoustic song would really fit the bill. And so I finished it, I brought it to her, I started playing it I actually brought her some tissues because I just knew. And she's so crying. Like, wow, she really loved it. And I was crying and the whole thing. And then I went in, and it was after having been apart from my producer for, you know, a month or something like that. Went back in to record this last song by myself. And I had this different part of my voice that I was able to access that was, you know, higher, lighter, sweeter, the falsetto starting to develop. And he's like, wow, where's that been? You know, I've been trying to get that out of you all along, and here you come back and now you're doing it, you know, and it's perfect for this particular song. So just another little kind of, you know, for me, a transcendent step in both writing and performance. But also just kind of moving the whole thing forward.
Yeah. That makes me think I wonder how often the experience leads you to the song, which leads you to a new skill in representing that.
Exactly. Yeah, and you're exactly right. And I'm the kind of artist that it's not like I went to music school and learned all the chops and then went, okay, how am I going to learn? How am I going to use this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I've learned musically is to serve whatever I'm trying to do as an artist. You know, and that can look ugly in the early phases, but it seems to be serving me well, because now I feel really comfortable in my, you know, just my approach. And yeah, there's a lot of gaps, a lot of things that I'd like to continue to get better at. But there's also a lot of just those things supporting what needs to be done at the time. And you're right, a new song is born, and a new way of a technique to approach that particular song is required, and there it comes. And it, for me, it happens to come with these sort of life shifts also. I think I came back from that experience just feeling more grounded, you know.
Yeah, cool. Well, thank you so much, Colin Lake.
Oh, thank you for having me. I sure appreciate it.
Have lifted, and then I wake to see the morning sun. I watch as you lie sleeping, and I know that you're the only one who can open up my heart and set it beating on like a drum. So free and help me learn to love like you have done. Who can make me feel so free and help me learn to love like you have done? We can walk so many miles without ever really knowing where we are. It made me see a little light. We realize we've been walking in the dark. You see, all of our dreams used to shimmer in the night just like stars. Warm and bright, and to me they don't seem so very far, far away. Ooh, far away. Spirits walk beside us as our paths merge gently into one. And across the deepest valleys span long bridges where there once were none. To get to where we are, it's taken so many trips around the sun. As I stand here with you, my heart tells me that it's only just begun. As I stand here with you, my heart tells me that it's just begun. As I stand here with you, my heart tells me that it's just begun.
You've been listening to Talkin' Music on KVNF, an interview with New Orleans-based artist Colin Lake. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Stay tuned for All Songs Considered coming up next, followed by the live broadcast of Mingo Fish Trap from Paonia Town Park.